Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Up to 90. How are you, Emma Bear?
Truly. Brand having a cup of cha.
I'm just having a cup of cha myself. Do you know when you... It's such a delicate balance, isn't it? A cup of tea. So hit and miss. But you know when you have one that's just right?
Well, you see now, you've got me started on something here. I'm quite particular about my tea, and one of the main tricks, not tricks, but one of the main things people do that annoys me and it really affects the tea is you can't reboil the water. You cannot, because I can taste it.
But that's why tea up and down the land is shite.
Yeah.
Because I can remember one night, in Vicar Street, Tommy came in and he was like, what is going on with tea in this country? Because, you know, Tommy loves a cup of tea. And I said to him, I was like, it's because people keep reboiling the water. I pinned him to a wall and I said, Tommy, it's the water. People keep reboiling.
Yeah. He's too concerned about his fucking hats. That's his problem.
But you know what? He's some great hats.
I know, but if he hadn't been concentrating on the hats, he would have figured out about the water being reboiled all the time.
Up to 90 with Emma and Julie.
I need to get a few more hats. I have a couple on the go that I quite like. But the thing about hats is it has to be winter. I know it's winter here.
I think a hat is a winter item. Well, I mean, but then it's you know, I guess remember Ovi and the old bucket hats? Like, he could rock those in the summer. I think you need a certain level of cool to rock a summer hat. A winter hat, I think a lot more of us can get away with the winter hat. Yeah. But myself and Fred were actually discussing this morning because I was looking at his forehead as he was sleeping and I was then measuring my own forehead. And I was thinking, God, the baby's probably going to have a pretty big forehead. So when he woke up was probably a bit of a stretch. So he's just starting to blink. And I was like, Fred, I've been thinking about it. I think the baby could have a very big forehead. So we're just going to have to invest in a lot of hats.
Oh, I thought you were thinking about the birth.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie, like the birth...
You're so selfless. You're not thinking about your own problems or pain. You're thinking about the child having a forehead.
Well, hilariously, I did announce to Fred yesterday that I was a little bit nervous about the birth because my pain threshold isn't great. So he was like, why don't you just have a C-section? And I had to inform him, well, you know, that's kind of an extreme option. And then he said, look, don't worry, like you can just take the medication, the drugs. And I was like, please stop mansplaining labour to me. Please. And you know,
all those hormones kick in. So it'll be grand. Like it will be painful, but it'll be grand.
No, like, I hope so.
Labour now, it would be absolutely horrific. But if I went into labour and I was pregnant and I have all those hormones rushing through my body,
I know what
better.
You mean. I got a lovely call from an anonymous friend last week who was gleefully telling me, first of all, she informed me that my parents were not going to see this child for at least 2 years because the lockdown is just going to go on and on and on. And then she told me, did I tell you about my friend? And there was a forceps birth and they left, basically, they left something up her. And I was like, please, will you stop? I just want the happy labour stories. I don't want the stories, but they sewed her up and they forgot that their pen, their fucking biro is still in there.
Oh, you know all the mother and baby homes that are still in existence? We need to use them and put those people in them because
I know
about the positivity about motherhood, birth. Like, it's just because it is. It's an amazing, powerful thing. And
people
are dying to tell you, I got 52 stitches.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of that. Yeah.
In my aims. I don't need to know.
And then I changed the subject. Need to know basis. And then I changed the subject and I was like, do you know what? I just can't wait till all this is over and we can all go for a nice coffee. And she was like, you're having the coffees are done. Like, once you have that child, you're never going to have time for coffee again.
And this is a friend that was telling you this.
Yeah, but you need these friends in your life as well because, you know, keeping it real and all that. But I just feel the biro in the vagina, like, come on.
And to be honest, you don't need to know about a lot of the other stuff. It's purely on a need-to-know basis. And everyone's experience, well, it's exactly the same, but it's different as well. Do you know what I mean? So
Same, but different.
No,
yeah,
but
I think that was
never come up to me and said, why didn't you tell me? Like, you know what I mean? There's nothing to gain from it.
Yeah, I think it's probably better not knowing. Well, you know me, I live my life in blissful ignorance anyway. So we've already decided, you know, we have averted potential photographic disaster. We're going to invest in a few baby hats. It's all going to be grand.
Yeah. Sorted.
Dunzos. And a fringe.
Yeah, fringe. It's not like either one of you has a protruding forehead.
No, I mean, I did always have.
You know me, I've got a giant head, so I'm all about the solid heads. But
and all your kids have completely normal sized heads, to be fair. I mean, I'll say that, you know, I'm not one for. I don't want to big them up too much because Tommy in particular, I think, is probably verging on the overconfident. But I will say they all have regular sized heads and fair play to you. Nobody can ever take that away from you as a parent.
There's no lollipop heads there, so.
No. So, look, let's get into it. Come here. Did you see this? I was dying to get your opinion on this. Did you see about our old friend Tyra Banks got in a lot of trouble this week? Were you following the story?
No, I saw a little bit of it, that people were kind of looking back at America's Next Top Model and kind of giving out to old Tyra.
There was a lot of giving out to Tyra. And I threw a tweet out there. Do you know what's so funny about the tweets? You know when you throw out a tweet and you're just like, mwah, like chef's kiss to the universe. This is Twitter gold. So I got 3 likes for it. That was about a week ago. But I thought it was pretty funny. I threw up a tweet saying, and I stand by this statement.
All right.
America's Next Top Model has aged about as well as my Chinese symbol tattoo.
Perfect.
3 likes. And by the way, I didn't see you liking it. You're liking it now.
I'll go and like it right after this.
No, Altyra.
Go on to your Instagram. I know you've been telling me you're putting a lot of work in, so I'll go and like and comment on everything now after this. I do that.
No, I know. I can feel that. Yeah. No, I can feel that I've worn you down. Because you have started liking and commenting.
Well, I honestly just don't go on shit. So every week or so I go, I think, oh, Judy's cracking out social
having
media.
A breakdown. Yeah.
I can send something and I'll go onto some platform and like a few bits and bobs.
Yeah, no, it definitely feels like. And then, you know, the funny thing is, because when I get a comment from Emma, I'll often find then I'm having a now scroll and I see you've done the random comments. You've just gone for, it's a bit of a buffet. You're like, I'll just throw one, her a like, throw her an old kissy face, throw a laughing face to Judy. That's what she's after. Go on, maybe like a make, a bit of a muak page, stun, love it. Another, maybe more successful comic, hilarious.
Are you like,
you'll have three laughing faces for the established comic.
I think this is borderline bullying, Judy.
It's cyberbullying and it's my best. I mean, my social media activity, it's just someone who wants to be loved. Like, I mean, the whack of want of my Instagram page at the moment.
Jesus, what do you want me to fucking do?
Desperado.
Do you want me to write paragraph comments? Is that what you want?
I just want, what do I want? What
do you want?
I'm going to sit down. I'm going to have a think about what I want and I'll send you an email later on.
Do. I haven't gotten a Julie email in a while.
Ah, you love an old Julie email. But like, can I chat about her? Because I love this, the Tyrus Bank stuff.
I never stopped it.
Presume America's Next Top Model. Were you into it?
Yeah, I loved it.
Loved it. But anyway, so she came under fire this week because, like, they went back and you do look back at some of the episodes and to say they haven't aged well is understatement of the century. And I don't know if you saw this episode because I'll be honest, I only saw this by just sheer luck. I saw this episode. I didn't even see the full episode, but it was the makeover with the guys. And you think, yeah, but guys, like, how much can you fuck it up, really? You know what I mean? Like, you know, even currently, like, they throw up the pictures and, oh, the hair is a little bit short. It's going to be back in a week. Like, this is not the end of the world. But in this episode, this one guy didn't even know you could do this. Tyra insisted that he got a beard weave so that he got hair stuck to his face. It wasn't like a little George Michael goatee. It was a full-on beard. This was a beautiful, beautiful man. And he had what was quite obviously a fake beard attached to his face.
So he went around looking like he was on a murder mystery weekend or something.
It was, and his sad eyes, like, he was such a nice guy. And he was like, I want to be a big boy about this, but I have a murder mystery beard glued to my face.
But like, okay, I've never gotten hair extensions or a weave or anything like that. But from what I can gather, there's maintenance involved. How do you, like,
I have no idea how it works.
Maintenance with a beard weave.
I don't even, like, listener, get in touch. If you've had a beard weave. I'm talking to the three men who listen to this podcast. Get in touch. But they were talking about, anyway, in particular, the episodes that stood out this week. So there was the one where the friend, you know, she got the call to say her best friend from home had died. And then the next day, shock horror, the challenge is they're all posing in a casket. This kind of thing. And then there was the blackface shoot. So do you remember when they said, okay, we're going to do this thing where, like, basically everyone wears black and white makeup. So, like, they had, you know, the white girls were getting the blackface done, and then the black girls were getting essentially, like, kind of, you know, white makeup put onto their faces. And again, people were like, who thought this was a good idea?
Insane.
And then
that long ago, is this? Do you know what I mean?
I was just about to say, like, you know, you could say hasn't aged well, but sorry, like, was it ever okay? I mean, really, who thought this was a good idea? And then there was, I loved this contestant, Danielle. She was such a good crack. She had this, like, kind of really distinctive voice. She was really lovely, stunning looking girl. And you remember she had the gap tooth. And Tyra gave out to her because Tyra wanted her to get dental surgery on the gap. And Danielle was like, my gap is me. Like, that's who I am. Like, that's what makes me unique. And she said then, obviously, then when they're doing the whole judging panel thing, and Tyra was like, okay, you wouldn't get your gap closed. And Danielle completely reasonably was like, oh, well, you know, it's just like, it's me. I don't mind if you want to close it a little bit, but I don't want it fully closed. And Tyra's like, you think you're going to be a cover girl with a gap in your mouth? And you're like, Madonna. Madonna had a gap in her mouth. You know what I mean?
And after a few series, things were starting to change. Okay, obviously, like, still, it's like 90% of the people who are full-time models fit a certain criteria in terms of, like, measurements and look and whatever. But there was the movement of, like, kind of what was seen as beautiful and what was acceptable as a cover girl or whatever was changing. And someone who was at, like, obviously a huge part of the industry and was in the know, surely she would have probably known or had a sense that that was happening before, say, the likes of me and you, who were just like consuming this stuff when it's given to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what the fuck was she saying at? Because in fairness, she was a huge like model, like she was a huge superstar, like obviously she still is, like a star, but you know what I mean, in the modeling fashion world, she didn't get into drinking drugs from what I can gather, so she obviously had her finger on the fucking pulse. She had the TV career, all the rest of it. What the fuck, like, was it purely just for TV? I assume it was, like, but
I think it probably just was, you know, it probably just was like the fact that she was playing it up for TV and all that. But, and then, do you remember there was the time that the girl, I think her name was Tiffany, and she got eliminated and this other girl got eliminated and the other girl was bawling and Tiffany was like, okay, well, look, you know, it is what it is. Good luck kind of thing. And do you remember Tyra lost her rag?
Oh, Tyra.
And she was roaring, I was rooting for you! And then she's saying about the grandmother got her lights turned off and all. Like, all this personal information, which Tyra had no right to share in that moment. And she was giving out to her how she wasn't showing any emotion. So she obviously didn't care. And your one was just like, no, like, that's actually not how feelings work. Like, just because I'm not bawling, crying. And Tyra's just roaring at her. And then Tiffany tries to speak and Tyra's like, shut up! It's really strange.
You know, the bit that used to really infuriate me was, do you know when they send them off for the casting calls, like all over the city, and one would be one end of the city, the other would be the other end of the city, and they'd like be half an hour apart and they're trying to like get around and get on like subways and all this. Every time I saw that episode, I was just like, this is a joke. If that was left to me to like direct, like have any sort of like sense of direction and navigate my way around a city I'd never been in, like I'd have a breakdown. That would be the episode, if not obviously.
Well, yeah, it is kind of your worst night.
Makeup, and I'm in that show. That is the episode that I'm getting kicked out on, because I'm not making it to any of the castings.
I think when you're in downtown Tokyo, clutching your.
It's such a fucking joke.
Clutching your refill binder. Like, it just.
Walking around in heels.
I mean, the heels. Forget it.
Left out heels. It's just ridiculous. They're like, here you go. Here's some stilts. Here's a mop. You didn't even have smartphones.
Well, imagine doing all that minus Google Maps.
Google, where is, like, I mean, come on. So I told you so many times when Ella was a kid, like, there'd be parties out in, like, Rathaut and stuff. And I was just like, oh, fuck's sake. One time, I think I ended up in the airport.
Who was living in Rathaut? Somebody in her class?
No, you see, like, nobody was living there. They just booked a party there.
Oh.
And obviously to other people who have a sense of direction, they're like, oh sure, that's dead handy, just fly down the M50. Not for the likes of me. You could tell me what the exit. I'm not as bad now, I've tried to chain myself, but you could say to me, so it's just like, it's exit 11, and I'd be like, okay, cool, got it, got it. And then I'd be like, I'm coming up to exit 11. This is the exit missed.
Like that four weddings and a funeral moment. Fuckity fuck.
Yeah, I just, I'm bad.
When I get frustrated, whatever about, you know, being told what exits, I just get frustrated when Google Maps says things like, head west. And you're like, if I actually knew where west was, would I be needing Google Maps? No, like, sorry, but I'm not a human compass. Head southwest. You're like, what does that even mean? I'm looking up at the sky. I'm like, where's the sun? Then I'm trying to remember where the sun's supposed to be.
I much prefer the American voice, though, because she kind of comes in when you're nearly home and dry, and she's kind of a bit more chill, whereas the English voice, she's quite stern.
Well, there's something about an English voice anyway telling you where to go. You're like, fuck off.
I know. She just
exit 11.
Up for the crack, do you know what I mean? So
you're like, I'll choose my own exit. Thank you.
Thanks very much, yeah. But
thank you for the imperialism. So Tyra came out then and said,
I didn't think she'd bother coming back and saying anything.
Did I tell you that we think Molly now is, I told you how we thought she was blind, but it turns out she's also deaf.
As well.
Deaf as well. She can't hear anything, Emma. She can't see.
You've got a Helen Keller cash.
I actually have started, this is so bad, but I have started calling her Helen. And I mean, I'm pretty sure that I'm Anne O'Sullivan now. You know when people tell you over and over again, how many times in your life has somebody said to you, you know, Helen Keller's nurse was actually Irish. I think everyone should just get a one slap rule for every time somebody informs you of that fact.
What does that mean to anyone? It's like these people that go around saying, I swear to God, I had coronavirus before Christmas. So
yeah,
what?
No, there has to.
It's enabling us to find, get the vaccine together. What can we do with this information? This means absolutely fucking nothing.
There is a spate of people saying things like, I was sick. Yeah, I was sick before Christmas. That wasn't a flu. You're like, stop it.
I don't like this badge of honour thing. Like, I mean, I just soldiered on. It hadn't even started and I had it. And I got rid of it before.
I was the trendsetter.
Yeah.
it's like I found this new show on Netflix. I watched that, like, 2 years ago.
I think it's a backup plan, because then in case you get it, they'd be like, well, I had it. I don't actually personally remember it being this bad. But
oh, there'd be definitely a bit of that, I'd say. Yeah. Tyra's tweet. Seeing the posts and about the insensitivity of some past America's Next Top Model moments, and I agree with you. Looking back, those were some really off choices. Appreciate your honest feedback, and I'm sending so much love and virtual hugs. Now, I mean, I kind of respected the tweet up as far as, I think any tweet that ends in virtual hugs, I'm out.
Yeah, it was a bit over the top. I mean, this is a stranger.
Yeah, and I didn't even know how a virtual hug works, I'll be honest. But no, what else could she say?
It's unnecessary to send virtual hugs, but I think at least she fucking admitted. And it was one of those shows, like, I mean, how many series was there? Like 15 or something, was there? There's at least 10.
Sure. There was a cycle. There was a cycle 21, because even when I kind of went down a bit of a rabbit hole then, and somebody was talking about this poor girl who was in cycle 21 and she was murdered after the fact. And I was like, I can't believe there are 21 cycles. And also so sad for that poor girl. But it just shows it's obviously hugely successful if they had that many seasons. But I actually didn't realise there were that many.
No, I'd say there's about four of them that I'd know pretty well. Or do you know what I mean? That I'd recognise
the characters
but
Nigel,
like, and you see when someone's Nigel, God, I was going to start talking about what's kind of just irritating me. Thing, do you know what really pissed me off was the fella. Now, he was gorgeous looking. The fella with the, it was usually like bleach blonde, or it was like white bleached, who was doing the makeovers. Makeovers now, because he was just a little bit too mouthy, and just very, very happy with his scissors fucking sculling the head.
Well, it was all a bit sadistic. And you know, they used to take like a certain, you know, like there'd be some poor girl crying in the corner, and then it was always the girl who got the shaved head. So like Miss Arkansas, that's like the thing I like, you know, she has to fill out the form before they audition. What's the thing you like most about yourself? My hair. And then they're like, we're thinking shaved head, like, let's do it. But that girl is crying in the corner. And then it's always the bitch that has like, you know, it's always the girl that has, you say, like she's got the long blonde hair, and they're saying, okay, we're thinking, let's just do more of a strawberry blonde. Like just,
oh,
just
yeah, a or slight like check. Highlights.
Yeah, something. Few highlights. Like, so the highlights and the low lights are there having a cup of coffee over by the muffin tray, saying, God, like Miss Arkansas, like, come on, it's a competition. Like Tyra knows what she's doing. And you're like, you still have hair.
Do you remember there was someone, I obviously can't remember what cycle it was, but they put a weave in her hair, right? And she kept saying to them, she was like, I'm in excruciating pain. Like, we need to take this out. My head is like physically bleeding. She was like, beauty's pain, beauty's pain. So then after about a week, she was like, look, I'll take your point, but like, my head's fucked. And then they're like, oh, this again. And then they happened to glance at her scalp. And it was like her scalp had fucking like shingles or something. Like, she was, they were like, yeah, they started being real nicer. Then they're like, okay, sweetie, yeah, we're going to take these out, you poor thing. Okay, good for you.
So but you know what, I know, like
you know, when you're in that pain, there's no noise from the crying, the tears are just streaming down your face. Like fucking
straight. It's like, even when the pain is gone, you can still feel the pain. You're just in shock.
And then you're just crying. It's like you're still, the pain is immense. But it's like the relief of, oh my God, this is going to an end.
Oh, look, it was explosive, but we loved it. I mean, do you know what? I kind of lost interest after the makeover episode.
Oh, totally. I think they were like, they were nice to her for about 2 weeks after. Like, it's just,
I love this photo. Like,
she's just got her hand on her head and all the pictures.
She's just got a headscarf on.
She's and it's like parts of her scalp were like, hair will never grow again.
Oh, but they're clever enough. They give her another 3 weeks before they kick her out.
Yeah, so everyone's fucking forgotten. Everyone's like, yeah, she was a bit annoying, wasn't she? Everyone's forgotten that she was fucking assaulted. Every season, I swear to God. Oh, it's so funny.
But yeah, do you know what? This is making me feel a bit nostalgic. This is making me, I have to be honest, this is making me really nostalgic for America's Next Top Model. Like, I want to go back now and watch a few episodes.
Just stay at them all in the fucking stiletto heels.
And then Tyra was all, well,
stupid. Like, no interpreter, nothing, just like fucking try to read.
It was, well, do you know what? It was a very millennial aesthetic as well, wasn't it? So, like, it was always, you know, like, you know, Tyra would make the girl roll up her jeans and put a pair of stilettos on. And Tyra's like, now you're a model. You're like, what? It doesn't work like that.
Yes.
Like, and then she was a big. She was a big one as well for the, you know, all about, like, she was all about body acceptance. So, yeah. You know, she was all about the pretty face with, you know, a bit of a booty, really pretty face. But I always had issue with that because I was like, but Tyra, what about the likes of me who's got a face like the back of a bus? Like, why aren't she championing me?
Most of us have one. We have one of the elements.
We've one redeeming feature. But like Tyra was always about the, like, you know, accept yourself if you have a model face. That was always the caveat.
I know, but just the thing I could never tell is, do you know when they had the pictures as well? And like, unless they were really stupid, like, God, she looks like she needs to take a dump or something or whatever. But like most of the time, I never knew what they were going to say. Like, this is amazing.
Oh, no. No idea.
Completely checked out for this one. You know, the way usually in these competitions, even after a few episodes, you get into like what the vibe is and you're able to call it before they do. Never with that show. Never. Like, I never knew. I'd be like, they'd pull up a picture and like, Jesus, she looks like a fucking, she looks like she's wearing like a bin liner. What the fuck? She's been dragged through a hedge backwards. And they're like, outstanding.
But you know what? I kind of think they themselves didn't even know. I think they were always waiting for one person on the panel to say something to know what they thought.
They always went the same.
You know, everyone, Spiky, you'd be like, I love this.
Yeah.
And then Tyra
be like, oh, look at you. And like,
get it, girl. And you're like, yeah. What? I just, it's
never. Yeah, it was. Never.
Oh, no. I think, yeah. Look, as we have said before, that a lot of these shows don't age well, but we're going to throw America's Next Top Model into that bracket, I think, now as well. Tell me, Adele, what are your thoughts? Hello.
My thoughts on Adele. Well, I mean, first off, she looked great. Like, we all knew about this anyway. Like, this didn't happen just the other day. The thing I don't like is, I don't like people giving out about the media commenting on it while they're commenting on it. Because I'm like, if you don't like it, just don't say anything about it.
Right, don't reference it.
Oh, hang on. Ella wants something. What do you want, Ella? Say hi, Ella.
Hello.
There, that's all she's contributing. But the other thing I didn't like was the thing about them saying that she was having a diet of 1,000 calories a day while also
I didn't see that. Okay.
I don't think that's possible. Given the fact, like, how tall is she? She's probably like 5'6" or something. I don't think it's possible to have 1,000 calorie a day diet and to be working out and sustain that. If they just said how, I should just start eating healthy and working out, grand. But all this, like, getting into, like, oh, she ate, like, you know, a piece of paper a day and now look at the results, whatever. But if people, like, I get the whole thing of, like, even actually there was somebody recently who I know, like, kind of from online. She's, like, a mommy blogger. So I would have met her at a few things, but I couldn't say that, like, she's my friend, that I actually really know her. But she had visibly lost weight. But I didn't want to comment on her post. So instead, I was kind of chatting to her and I mentioned it to her. I was like, oh, God, sorry. I'm just so, like, don't want to be commenting about people's bodies because I know, like, whatever, it's a very personal thing. But if somebody loses weight and they look good, you should be able to say it to them.
Yeah. Well, I think you can acknowledge that
weight doesn't always mean healthy and whatever. Like, I realize that, but we should, you know, there has to be some sort of middle ground, really, where you can still congratulate somebody if they've worked hard to get healthier. And
yeah, and I think everyone, yeah, and I think, you know, everyone who has, you know, fought to lose weight, whether that's like 5 pounds or 5 stone, everyone knows it does take hard work. It doesn't just happen. It does take dedication. So I think you're right that, you know, it would be a shame if you couldn't congratulate and acknowledge that, because it is hard work. It's not easy. I guess, like, I'm sure you would agree. I mean, I think it comes down to, like, first of all, nobody is taken from the fact, like, Adele was stunning before. She's also stunning now. Nobody's saying that she looked bad before. But now,
no one's forgotten that she's, like, you know, a phenomenal talent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the number that matters, like, in relation.
It's not like, oh, my God, she's like 7.5 stone. But what was she famous for again? I can't remember. I don't know. I don't care, because she's now 7.5 stone. It's like, it's not like anyone's going around like that.
No. I think, you know, the numbers that matter when, you know, when it comes to our interest in Adele, obviously, like, it's all about the record sales, the amount of awards she's won. It's not, you know, how much she weighs in terms of a number on the scale. But it is, it's a tricky one, because the only thing I'll say is that I know what you mean about being reticent in commenting. And first of all, I think, you know, the idea of anyone commenting on a woman's weight, you know, and in a public forum, it's just bizarre. Like, our interest in, like I say, a woman's weight, but I mean, I'm sure it does apply to men as well. But I mean, essentially, it is like nobody's business. But I mean, as an observer, you can look at a picture of Adele, and I think it is okay to think, God, you know, she looks great. She looked great before, but fair play to her. Like, this has taken a lot of work. And you can have that thought. And I don't think it means that you're fat phobic, because you're acknowledging she looked good before. You're saying she does look good now. Fair play to her. But I think, as you said at the very start there, I think referencing it on social media, on Twitter, I mean, ultimately, it's none of our business. So I will look at a photo of Adele and have that thought. But I don't feel the need to tweet about it, because I think that is really unhelpful, because it feeds into this obsession with women's bodies.
By giving out about people commenting on it, you are
part of the problem.
You're doing the exact same thing, because all that tells people who write these articles is that people are interested in this, whether they have a positive reaction to this or a negative reaction. And you finding a story about Adele's weight or whatever and sending that to somebody and saying, Jesus, would they ever leave the poor woman alone? All you're doing is fucking sharing that story and getting it more clicks.
So of course. Really, I mean, you're perpetuating it.
Make it happen. Step away from it, because a newspaper doesn't care, like, or not a newspaper, but, like, you know, a news site doesn't care. Well, hang on, what was, how do people feel about the story? Was it positive or negative feelings? They just want to know how many fucking clicks it had. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's pure clickbait. And I think that, you know, that's not, I hope that's not, you know, kind of contradicting, like, myself when I say that, you know, you can look, you can observe, you can have a thought, which is a completely normal as an observer. Yes. You're going to look at an image of somebody who looks completely different and have some thought about it. But I don't feel the need. I think what was unhelpful last week, and I saw a few people doing it, a few people that kind of surprised me as well, that they didn't realise they were kind of feeding into the problem, saying, oh, Adele looks great. And some of them did say she also looked great before. But again, coming back to that, what you just said there, Emma, why is there a need to even reference it? Have the thought, like, I'm sure you're feeding into people
in her life to tell her that she looks great.
But that's exactly what I mean. That, like, if it was a friend or a family member, you know, expressing a thought or, wow, congratulations, I know how hard you've worked, you know, you looked amazing before. And people have, like, you know, in terms of, like, my weight has always gone up and down. And, you know, people might say, oh, you looked great before, you look better now. And that could relate to me losing weight or putting on weight. You see, this is the ridiculousness of...
This is the other thing you get, that, oh, don't lose any more now.
Yeah, but I know, like, even saying...
Language around it.
Well, you know, and again, it comes back to, like, that is the problem, that somebody's telling you, oh, you look so much better with the weight. And then somebody else says, oh, you look so much better now, you've lost the weight. I mean, ultimately, this is what drives women mad, because it's all these mixed messages. Everyone is bringing their own opinions to the situation. So some people think you look better, you know, with a bit of weight on you and all the rest. Other people are like, God, you look really fit, you look really slim. I mean, at the end of the day, their opinion has nothing to do with you as a person. They're just projecting their opinion onto you. But I think it was probably unhelpful last week when people did comment on her weight in any way, whether it was, like, to compliment her or whatever, on Twitter, Instagram, generally Twitter, I think, is what people were using the last week. And that's where kind of the big kind of...
character to do so. But if she had come out publicly herself and said, you know what, the last year and a half, or, you know, whatever, the last year and a half, I've really focused on getting healthy and getting myself fit. And you know what? I'm glad I did. I've never felt better. If she had said that, then that is an open invitation for people to say, Jesus, you look fantastic, fair play to you, whatever. But she hasn't actually. So just, I'd like, just leave it be.
But of course, that's her prerogative.
Yeah. If somebody comes out and says, I did this, I did that, I feel great, thanks a million, then of course, comment away to your heart's content. But if they haven't actually come out and talked about it themselves, now don't get me wrong, if someone wants to send me a DM and tell me I look great, that's fine. The DMs are open for that. For patrons or non-patrons, I don't mind those kind of DMs that I can just send back a little smiley face to thanks a meal chicken. But that's why when I was saying about that woman I know, but like I was even like, I had seen her post a few things where she was in gym wear and stuff, and I could tell that it had been a gradual thing. So I was like, right, I'm going to like take a stab in the dark. I'm not stabbing in the dark, but educated guess here that she's changed her routine and this has been a kind of a gradual thing. So I was like, oh, I'll let her know. Because sometimes when it's healthy, you see, and people see you all the time or see images of you all the time, they don't actually realize it until you put one picture beside another or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
It's incremental.
Yeah, because, you know, it's kind of like, over time. Likewise, if people put on weight, you don't necessarily notice because it's a very gradual thing. So I think sometimes with celebrities, when we're kind of given this image of a dramatic kind of a thing or whatever, it's not their fault at all, but it probably, I don't know, well, I suppose for some people it probably is motivation. But I think it's important that people know that, like, you know, for people that have made big changes and here they are in picture A and here they are in picture B, it's like, yeah, well, they had a really unhealthy lifestyle before. And this was like 2 years of kind of putting themselves first and looking after themselves. Like, just so you know, it's not like doing a splits, fucking, you know, bums or whatever the fuck they call these stupid things.
And just see, another thing is as well, and like certainly, you know, I'm not saying that this is the case with Adele, but I think one thing we have to be conscious of as well is like weight loss doesn't always equate with health either. So I know when I was at my thinnest and I look back at photos, and I only found a recent photo myself and somebody said, commented on how well I looked in the photo. But I know for a fact that was when, like, mentally I was in such an awful place. Like, looking back, the picture actually gave me the shivers because aesthetically I probably looked, well, in this person's opinion, I look great. But I felt so bad because I knew I'd lost weight because I wasn't eating properly. I wasn't taking care of myself. So it doesn't, you know, necessarily equate. And I think last week with Adele, you know, when she came out, again, nobody's denying, looked great before, looked great in this picture. Obviously, there's been a dramatic change. You know, as a sentient being, you're going to have a thought about it. Like, you're going to consider the fact that she does look dramatically different. But you wonder how helpful would it have been and how healthy would it have been if she put up this picture? I think, was it in relation to the NHS workers to celebrate her birthday? Was she saying something about them? Or was it a birthday pic? But I think it was definitely something for her birthday. But if people just had said, happy birthday, you know, can't wait to hear the new album, or like, it wouldn't have been so interesting if nobody referenced it.
You look great would have been, yeah. And it's very true that, like, you know, weight loss does not equal healthy or whatever. Because I'd say after Ella, I lost loads of weight. And I probably did to people, they think, wow, Jesus, she's really fucking bounced back. But it was just fucking stress. It was just like, you know, deer in the headlights or whatever. My mom, though, I have to say, she was great, in fairness to her. She never, my mom was like never on a diet, never talked about food, never talked about weight.
Yeah.
That's one of the best fucking gifts she ever gave me. So, you know what I mean? Because I know other people, the messages that they got about food and diet and weight from day one were so harmful.
Yes, yeah.
You know, you get enough messages from the outside about all of that stuff and what shape you should be and how you should look and all the rest of it. Even, sure, look, we know ourselves, even it doesn't start once you hit puberty. It starts well before that.
Oh, of course.
For men and women, for everybody. But, I think we can all kind of maybe agree that particularly for women. I mean, Jesus, if women aren't pouring their enviable curves into shit every day, like, what would the world be? Or being defiant about going and getting a pint of milk because, you know, supposedly someone writing the article is think they've lost weight or whatever. But I really do think, like, I really do think, as we talk about it, but sometimes not talking about this stuff can be more powerful than talking about it.
I know. I mean, even us talking about it is part of the problem.
It is. It is part of the problem. But we're talking about it now and we're saying stop talking.
Well, we're talking about it and we're right. Okay, we're saying, like, do as we say, not as we do. That's what we're saying. But it was probably just a missed opportunity to last week to not have a conversation about somebody's dramatic weight loss. So it's a shame that everyone fell into the trap. And then people were kind of getting mad at being chastised and, you know, kind of given out about it, like on both sides of the fence. I think people were, there was a lack of self-awareness maybe last week when people were talking about it. So as you say, you could say you look great, can't wait for the new album, happy birthday. Really, you know, like, how do you do it? It's just, no, like, it's...
I have to be honest about it. I'd say in the last year, right, I probably lost, I have a picture of me this time, around this time last year, and obviously I know what I look like now. And if you were to look at it, you'd say, I reckon she's lost about 2 stone. I could count on one hand the amount of people that have said it to me. And sometimes you'd be like, can somebody not just say to me? But then you learn it's not about getting praise or whatever from other people. It's about how you feel about yourself and doing your own thing.
Well, I just want to say, I am one of the people who has commented on the fact that you look great.
Exactly, but you would be in that.
I'm on that hand.
You were on that hand.
But I think what I think as well, and I'm not just...
as well, that he shouldn't, you know, and that's not... Remember I sent you, that's not why I kind of got healthy. It was purely by accident because Ella had been in 4th year and she was going to the gym. They had like a teen gym. So I was dropping her to the gym and then I just started going. And then I was kind of like, God, I'm actually not really that healthy. So it was just like, it was purely by chance, but it's a good... lesson, I suppose, because I did it so slowly. And it's not like I was, like, okay, like, be real here, it's not like I was massively unhealthy before. I probably just like neglected myself a little bit, but it's a good lesson, I suppose, that you shouldn't be waiting for other people to validate your external appearance. You know what I mean? You actually, well, for me anyway, it was actually something that I had to cop on, like that I was like, oh yeah, of course, this is purely just about me. And then I got to the point where I could confidently say, no, it is actually, I am just doing whatever I'm doing just for myself.
But I think as well, and I know it's easy to say this, but I am genuinely one of those people that I really don't notice weight loss or weight gain in other people. No. I don't. But so like even say with you, I think because you were, I mean, in my opinion, you would have been so small to begin with that I think because you have such a small frame that maybe people, you know, they're probably thinking, my God, Emma looks great. But maybe they can't put their finger on what it is. Do you know what I mean? That it's an overall... Yeah. This person looks fab. And then there are other people, and sometimes, you know, it's even coming from the fact that, like, you know, maybe their area of work or like their online image, that they might notice the weight loss straight away.
Yes.
And then other people are kind of blind to what's going on. Like, I think it sort of comes back to, we're all kind of self-obsessed at the end of the day. So, if my mate loses half a stone, I would always, and you'd be the same, I'm sure, like, with your friends. It's so important. Like, anytime I see my friends and I think they look great, and generally I always think my friends look great because you just love them and you're so happy to see them. You know, I always will say, oh my God, you look fab, love the hair, love the clothes, love it all. And it'll be coming from a genuine place. But I'm so slow to pick up on weight loss. And then when I do say it, like you saying there about 2 stone has me floored. I never would have thought you would have lost 2 stone. Like when somebody says to me, oh, I say, you look fab. I'll rarely say, have you lost weight? Like, what is it? And then they'll say, oh, I've actually lost 2.5 stone. And I'm like, Jesus, I feel bad then because I never picked up on that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Not at all. And sure, I didn't even know. It was only when I actually looked back in it. But what I am saying is, you know, when someone says, geez, you're looking great. That is a much more a comfortable thing than somebody actually getting into like, what are you doing? What are you eating? What are you, how often are you doing this? That's just fucking weird. What I'm saying is like,
but when I think,
announced it, I was like, should I not be getting like a fucking parade or something?
But then I think,
just like the process that you do, because I used to hear people talk, and you know, when you hear people saying stuff like, no, I'm actually just doing this for me now. This is just for myself. And you'd be like, please, bitch. Blow it out your ass. Come on, level with me. But it is actually true.
But also I totally agree that, like, you know, I think that we should all be slow. Like, I think saying you look beautiful, you look great, you look fab is so much, it's generally, I think, a much better way to compliment someone than bringing it down to the numbers, have you lost weight? But I think that if, like, you know, thinking my own friend circle, like, I've had friends who've lost a dramatic amount of weight, like huge amounts of weight. And I think then acknowledging that and saying in that instance, saying, wow, like, you look fab, like you've lost so much weight. For that person who has been, you know, battling for a long time, it's not something that comes easy. I think it's nice to acknowledge that as well in that instance.
Yeah.
But as a friend, not to throw up, if they throw up a picture on Instagram and you write underneath, oh my God, you look merry, you've lost so much weight. You know what I mean? It's a conversation over a coffee.
It is.
Apparently I will never have now because I'm having a child.
You will have coffees again.
We go, we just remind our listener, we're banging on about it, but this is the new us, Patreon.
I'm going to put up a video this Thursday. I have decided what I'm going to do, Julie. I'm going to show people my cutlery drawer.
Oh my God, amazing. Can't wait. So you're going to talk us through your cutlery drawer.
Yeah. And what a little bit of scandal are we going to do?
Oh, yeah. Our extra episode, This Too Shall Pass this week, we're going to look at Jay-Z, Beyonce, Solange, and The Lift. We're going to look at that whole situation because we haven't really, you were saying in Ems, we actually before that we haven't really referenced Jay-Z and Beyonce very much and their relation.
Well, when you think about it, though, they're so, well, not they're kind of squeaky clean and they don't let much out. So I think that's why that is an interesting one, because it's one of the few times that they let their guard down. Well, they didn't really have a choice, but you know what I mean? So I think there's
other people. Go on. There's other people.
There's other people out there who, you know, give us stuff every week. It's interested or whatever. So
well, I think now what I'm going to do is I've got a bit of housework to do, so just to get me in the mood, I'm going to throw on Lemonade.
Oh yeah,
for Beyonce. Yeah.
There's like a few tunes when you're, you know, do you ever tidy when you're angry as well? That's my favorite time.
I generally usually when I tidy, it's to Usually when I tidy, it's to the soundtrack of true crime. So I'm quite fond of, like, say, the likes of Case File, just as a prime example, is like really bad Australian accent, but it's Australian. And it usually, what I enjoy is I'm having an old sweep and he starts off saying, you know, Ellen was in the house alone when the middle of the day. And I'm like, but I think the fear, you know me, like I'm such a fearful little person. I think the fear really gets me going. I'm just like, keep busy.
While you're hoovering.
Well, also, I think, you know, something did happen to me. I'm like, at least the house will be clean. Do you know, it gives me that extra motivation.
I mean, imagine
my mother. My mother would be told, yeah, no, the break-in happened. She seemed to be in the middle of hoovering. And my mother would be like, no, this was staged.
Imagine, like, second paragraph, the house is it was quite chaotic or something, or in a state of disarray or something.
Oh, because you know what?
We'd never get over it.
How to fix a drug scandal. I lasted through half of episode one. Have you watched it?
Yes. The one.
Boring.
The drug. Oh, do you think so?
Oh, my
God. Can't be tired of watching it.
Oh, my God. I just thought it was so dull. But what really kind of made me cringe for, I was going to say the poor pharmacist, but, you know, I suppose I didn't watch the rest of the series, so I probably shouldn't make that sweeping statement. But you remember her car? The state of her car, Emma. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The state of it.
Well, she was.
McDonald's burger wrappers everywhere. I was like, oh, my God. Wouldn't she just die?
I mean, she was heavily engrossed in an addiction at the time. But it doesn't, I mean, I'm not going to make excuses for her. I mean, you can be out of your head on meth, but clean your fucking car.
Well, I think whatever about the drug bags, I don't even know what you'd call them. The baggies, I'm watching The Wire at the moment, so I'm all down with the lingo. the baggies, whatever about those, but the McDonald's wrapper, sure, I told you that how... Like Fred before the lockdown, and you know, I think he was telling me it had been a month since he'd gone to Supermax. And then I was going through his pants, and like there was all these Supermax napkins.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, and I held them out like you'd hold out a receipt from like a brothel or a strip club. And he was like, I don't know how they got in there. I was like, it's fine going to Supermax, but just don't lie to me about it. Like, that's imagine Shane sneaking off. For a Supermax, a taco fries without telling you.
Oh, I mean, there'd be absolute murder. The Supermax actually up the road from me is open.
Yay!
Exciting news.
We're getting one tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because we're going for the scan. So Fred's going to do his Don Draper 1960s husband hanging out in the car park.
What is this now?
This is the big one. It's the 21-week scan.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, but you had one a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that was just, okay. I didn't think the scan, that, do you remember that was the one I started stripping off? And it was just, he literally just did a quick peek just to see, was there like a heartbeat still and all that? So, I mean, it wasn't a proper, this is the sonographer now tomorrow.
Yes. You'll do all the measurements and everything.
So hopefully it'll all be okay. But I did, we looked it up now last night, and Supermax Barack Obama Plaza is open. So it's just going to be an absolute highlight.
Ah, that's going to be a lovely day.
So
exciting.
I can't wait. So hopefully now it'll all be all right, please God. But Patreon, if you're into a bit of celebrity scandal, you get 4 episodes every month for $3, which I think is it like $2.50, €2.60 euro-wise, €2.60. And then if you fancy a free funny video every week, so last week was the Mr. and Mrs. Quiz, got a good few lovely messages from people about that. It was a bit of crack. 4 funny videos plus 4 episodes for $6 a month.
Yeah, and can we just... I really don't want to keep banging on it, but Julie's up the duff now. Yeah, she's living in the arse of Kerry.
Well, okay. I mean, arse,
she's a full-time comedian. Fred's a full-time comedian. Where the fuck do you think she's getting the money from, lads?
I know. Like,
would you not do her the favour of letting her treat herself to a fucking
Supermax
after her 20-week scan?
Well, Well, it'd be nice to reach the stage where you could treat yourself to an Elle muffin for dessert. I never quite have the funds to stretch that.
So if we could do that.
And it is our only income for the podcast as well, just to say that. So it does, it take a little bit of time. We absolutely adore the podcast. But just to say, this is our only income from it. So we really appreciate every penny. And thanks so much to everyone who's supported us so far. Mwah.
Thank you so much. And the rest is fucking great. I don't know how you look your mother's in the fucking eye.
$3.
You're a fucking disgrace. Listen to this while you're out for your little walk or whatever the fuck you're doing, having a little chuckle, and you won't put the hand in the pocket. Fuck.
Oh,
you make me sick.
No, but, I think what I was trying to say is, if you have the $3, we'd really appreciate it if you could stretch it, and if not, that's okay too.
Thank you.
God bless. Oh no, I stole your line.
You can have it now if you want.
No, go on. It's the Emma line.
God bless.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.